Chapter 14. Sabotage. "What is monkey wrenching?" I asked. My parents both looked at me, intrigued. "Where'd you hear about that?" Dad asked. "Carlos Gomez went to jail for it," I explained. We were walking back home through Fun Jungle. Since the days were getting longer, the park was staying open much later than in the winter. It was 5 o'clock and the park was still packed with tourists. In fact, more were showing up, mostly locals coming by for the evening. For me, though, it had been a very long day, and my parents and I were all beat. 2 Fun Jungle security guards followed us. Their names were Marcus and Jethro. They were big, imposing guys, and JJ had ordered them to keep an eye on me.
"Someone's got it in for you," he'd told me. "Maybe they were just trying to scare you off, but I'd rather not take any chances."
He had ordered the guards to stay posted around our house all night, on the alert for any sign of trouble. Normally, I would have expected Mom to protest something like this. She didn't like accepting favors from JJ. But today she hadn't. That meant she thought the extra protection was a good idea, which made me nervous. "Monkey wrenching is sabotage for environmental reasons," Mom told me. "Sometimes, when groups have seen no other option to protect wildlife or endangered habitats, they've resorted to it."
"Like what?" I asked.
"It could be anything," Mom said, "like putting iron spikes in trees so that lumberjacks can't saw them down, or pouring sugar in the gas tanks of bulldozers. But it got its name from the act of throwing monkey wrenches into heavy machinery. If you destroy someone's construction equipment, then they can't tear down a forest."
"Or you at least delay them from tearing down the forest for a while," Dad put in.
"Do you know what Carlos Gomez got busted for?" I asked.
"He attacked a zoo in Wyoming," Dad answered. "They were holding some wolves there, and he set them free. In his defense, it was a small, poorly run zoo, and they apparently weren't taking very good care of the animals."
"There is never any defense for sabotage," Mom said coolly, then turned to me. "It's against the law."
"Those wolves would have died if it wasn't for Carlos," Dad told her.
"We don't know that for sure," Mom argued. "And what Carlos did was still a crime. Such behavior might have short-term gains, but it ultimately makes the whole animal rights movement look like a bunch of radicals and troublemakers, which doesn't do any of us any good."
"It does the animals some good, though," Dad said pointedly. There was something in their conversation that struck me as odd.
"Dad, have you ever done any monkey wrenching?"
"Of course not," he said, but he had a guilty smile. "Like your mother said, it's against the law."
"Looks like the rally's over," Mom said, obviously trying to change the subject. We were passing Panda Palace. It was much quieter than it had been earlier in the day. The crowds had dispersed. The pandamaniacs had either gone home or grown tired of moping around the empty exhibit and left to do something more interesting.
"Honecker sent some of his guys over here to break the rally up," Dad explained. "Said they were disturbing the peace."
He looked to me. "Is this where you saw James Van Amburgh?"
"Yes," I pointed to the entrance of Panda Palace.
"The rally was over there, and James was by those trees with some other mascots."
"Boy," Mom said, "Marge is really in hot water for not finding that costume."
"Good," I said, a little more harshly than I intended. "She deserves it."
"Hold on now," Mom cautioned. "I know we've all had our issues with Marge before, but locating that costume wouldn't have been easy."
"Although," Dad began, but then seemed to reconsider and stopped.
"Although what?" Mom asked.
Dad glanced back toward Marcus and Jethro to see if they were close enough to overhear us. They were giving us our space, though, so he said,
"There's always the possibility that Marge didn't even try to find the costume."
"You mean she just didn't bother?" I asked.
No, Dad said. "I mean, maybe she was involved with its disappearance in the first place."
Mom gaped at him. "Jack, you're actually suggesting Marge was connected to the panda napping?"
"I am."
"There's no way," Mom said. "Marge is way too committed to her job to break the law."
"That's right," I agreed. After all, why would Marge ask me to help her find the panda thief if she was the thief herself?
Think about it, Dad said. Marge holds a grudge longer than anyone I've ever met, and I'll bet she has a big one against JJ, and maybe Honecker too. After all, JJ demoted her from her job running security, and then gave it to Honecker.
So you think she decided to help steal the panda to make them all look bad? Mom asked doubtfully.
Or maybe she did it for a cut of the ransom money, Dad suggested.
She was supposed to find the panda costume, but she never did. And she was supposed to guard the actual panda, but somehow it was stolen on her watch. That's awfully suspicious.
Yes, Mom owned, but you're forgetting something important. Marge is completely incompetent. If she was really going to be involved with stealing Li Ping, it never would have worked out this well.
I'm not saying she was the brains of the operation, Dad insisted, only that she might have been involved. Suppose someone from the NFF asked her to help kidnap the panda. Her part isn't very difficult. Don't find whoever stole the panda costume, and pretend not to notice when the kidnappers attack the truck during the drive. Basically, all she had to do was perform poorly at her job, which is what she does here on a regular basis. I considered arguing that my father was wrong, but I didn't. For starters, I couldn't reveal that Marge was blackmailing me into investigating. My parents would immediately tell JJ, and Marge would release the footage of Summer. But something else held me back. My father had a good point. The whole time I'd known Marge, she'd been awfully vindictive toward me, and all I'd done to deserve it was play a few pranks on her. Meanwhile, JJ and Honecker had cost her a job and greatly embarrassed her. It now occurred to me that there was another reason Marge might have wanted me to snoop around the case. To find out if her sister was on to her. After all, her only plan so far had been for me to infiltrate the FBI mobile unit and see what information they'd learned. Marge hadn't come to me until after her sister had arrived at Fun Jungle. Perhaps she had thought she was going to get away with the panda napping, then freaked out when Molly showed up, knowing Molly would do anything to track down the criminal, even if it was her own sister. Mom had fallen silent herself, giving Dad's theory some consideration. We were nearing the employee exit at the rear of Fun Jungle. Until recently, our home had been close by, but now the place where our trailer and the rest of employee housing had been was the future site of the wilds. JJ wasn't even trying to hide the construction. He wanted guests to see that rides were being built so they'd get all excited and return when the new area opened. A wooden wall ran across the path that would serve as the future entrance to the wilds. It was gaily painted with representations of the rides to be, along with holes where you could peek through and watch the construction underway. Mom glared at the construction site the way she did every time we passed it. I said, "If Marge is really involved, do you think Molly would actually arrest her?" "Molly already did arrest her," Mom pointed out. "Today, after Marge forced you to sneak into the mobile unit for her."
"That wasn't a real arrest," Dad told us. "I think Molly only cuffed Marge to show she meant business. Honecker worked out some deal to get Marge off. She has to keep clear of the investigation, and she's barred from carrying a weapon anymore. Not even a taser."
"Honecker should have done that months ago," Mom put in.
"However, if Marge truly turned out to be involved in a serious crime like this," Dad went on, "I'm sure Molly would make sure she was prosecuted for it. There doesn't seem to be much affection between those two, and Molly seems very committed to her job."
"But, like you said, Marge wouldn't be the brains behind the operation," I said.
"Marge isn't the brains of anything," Dad replied.
"So who is?" I asked. "Do you think the NFF is behind the panda napping?"
Mom and Dad shared a look, as though they were trying to figure out how much to say to me. Then Dad said, "I share the same concerns about the NFF that you do. This doesn't seem like their style, and they're a small, cash-strapped operation. I don't think they have the funds or the skill to hit a truck while it's moving down the highway."
"But James Van Amberg threatened Teddy today," Mom said.
"Teddy didn't actually see James," Dad countered. "He only says the voices sounded the same. There are plenty of other people with deep voices like that."
"I don't know," I said. "It was awfully gravelly."
"Then maybe someone imitated James, wanting you to think he was attacking you," Dad said. Maybe this whole thing was just another part of a frame job for the NFF.
Mom still seemed skeptical. You think someone actually pretended to be James Van Amberg and threatened Teddy with a gun solely to point the finger at the NFF?
Why not? Dad asked. Seems to have worked. Notice that they threatened Teddy, not an FBI agent or any adult. He's only a boy, and more susceptible to coercion like that.
He glanced at me. No offense.
None taken, I said.
Dad continued on. By his own admission, Teddy wasn't snooping around. So why come after him, unless it was part of a setup?
Mom grew thoughtful once more.
So did I. My father's argument made sense, and it made me angry. I had been scared to death by the panda with the gun. To think that it was all simply done to make me a pawn was infuriating.
We passed out of the park through the rear employee exit. Margus and Jethro dutifully followed us. The employee parking lot sat to our left, heat shimmering off the asphalt, turning all the cars parked there into mirages. A path led through the woods, or at least what woods remain now that the wilds was being built, toward employee housing. As we headed into the trees, the noise of Fun Jungle was replaced by the clamor of the construction site, the rumbling of bulldozers, the clang of hammers, the beeping of trucks backing up.
So if it's not the NFF, who did steal the panda? I asked.
I think you made a pretty good argument for Walter Ogilvy, Dad replied, and I wouldn't rule out exotic animal traffickers either. I can guarantee you there are plenty of people willing to pay big bucks for a giant panda.
And do you think these traffickers might have faked the ransom too? Mom asked.
Why not? Dad replied. It's definitely thrown the FBI off the track.
There's also the crazy idea that the FBI is actually right, Mom suggested, and that this all really is a kidnapping by the NFF.
But if it's not, I pressed, then the FBI is getting distracted from the real criminals, and every minute they're distracted, Li Ping is in more danger.
Mom held up an open hand, signaling me to calm down.
I think we can trust the FBI to handle this, Teddy. They don't need you getting involved.
But, I began.
Mom cut me off. We've talked enough about Li Ping today, don't you think, Jack?
She gave Dad a meaningful look. I'd seen it before. It meant that if Dad didn't want to end up in the doghouse, he had better not disagree with her.
Your mother's right, Dad told me.
It didn't seem like he was saying it to humor her. It seemed like he really believed it.
A cloud of mosquitoes suddenly swarmed us, which meant we were almost home. Our new employee housing was called Lakeside Estates, but the lake was really only a muddy sinkhole. After the spring rains, it had filled with water to a depth of 6 feet and been fun to swim in for 2 days. Then the water had grown stagnant and started breeding mosquitoes by the ton. Mosquitoes were a fact of life in much of Texas, though for some reason they avoided Fun Jungle. My parents presumed that J.J. was covertly fumigating the place with powerful pesticides. Tourists didn't want to be mauled by mosquitoes at a theme park, but J.J. never copped to it. Sometimes it seemed as though every mosquito in the area was being diverted to Lakeside Estates. Each night they hovered outside an invisible barrier near our home, waiting to attack us and siphon us dry. We dashed through them, swatting left and right, racing for our trailer. Except for the sinkhole, Lakeside Estates was prettier than the old employee housing area, but that was mostly because it was hard to imagine a place being uglier than the old employee housing area. Back there, a bunch of cheap mobile homes had been scattered randomly in the woods without any thought to appearance or community. Now, JJ had sprung for nicer trailers for everyone, thanks to a little arm-twisting by my parents, and they had been arranged in 2 concentric circles around a central patch of dirt. JJ had promised that, at some point, he would replace the dirt with a swimming pool, but for the time being, he'd sprung for a spindly volleyball net and a game of horseshoes. Mom, Dad, and I were pretty much the only people who ever used any of them. Most of the other residents were workaholics with no kids, but we had managed to organize a volleyball tournament twice. The mammalogists had beaten the herpetologists and ornithologists both times. There was also a bit of landscaping that was coming into spring bloom. It might have all been a decent place to hang out if it weren't for the mosquitoes.
We slipped through the door of our house, squashing any last bloodsuckers. Marcus and Jethro posted themselves outside, in the shade of a cedar tree, where they could keep an eye on our house. I felt kind of bad for them. With the heat and the mosquitoes, standing guard over us wasn't going to be much fun, but I was still relieved they were there. Of course, it wasn't that nice inside our house either. My parents didn't like wasting electricity, so they always turned the air conditioning off when we left. The trailer was as hot and humid as a sauna. Mom flipped on the AC. "I'm making chicken for dinner tonight," she informed us, then told me, "Hit the showers, kid." "Right now?" I asked. Dad sniffed the air around me and teasingly wrinkled his nose. "Yes, now, before that stink makes the paint peel off the walls." "You should talk," Mom told him. "You're next. Both you guys reek, and that's coming from someone who works with gorillas." Dad held up his hands in mock surrender. "All right, we get the picture." He grabbed a beer from the fridge and hustled me down the short hall toward my room. While Mom went to work in the kitchen, I lowered my voice and said, "Dad, be honest. Did you ever do any monkey wrenching?" A brief flash of guilt flickered across his face before he thought to correct it. "Why do you ask?" I realized he hadn't said no. "I just got a feeling." Dad ushered me into my room and lowered his voice, not wanting Mom to hear him through our paper-thin walls. "On occasion, when I've been on assignment in other countries, I've found that the government wasn't enforcing their wildlife laws as well as they should have. So I took matters into my own hands." I probably shouldn't have found this impressive, but I did.
"Like what?"
"A few years ago, I was in a national park in India, where a corporation was building a hotel without a permit. It was right in the middle of a critical tiger habitat. So I might have set some of their construction equipment on fire." I grinned.
"And that stopped them from building the hotel?"
"No," Dad replied sadly. "The developer's insurance bought him brand new equipment. My actions didn't make a difference for the tigers, and I came awfully close to getting thrown in a rural Indian jail, which would have really screwed up my life."
"Was that the only time you ever did anything like that?" I asked.
"The point I'm trying to make is, monkey wrenching probably causes more problems for the people who do it than the people they're trying to stop. Especially in this country, we can usually trust the law to do the right thing. So don't even think about it. And get cleaned up." Dad ducked out of the room. I realized that, once again, he hadn't answered my question, and he'd said we could usually trust the law. I peeled off my clothes and headed for the shower, wondering if we could trust the law this time. Because if the FBI was wrong about the NFF, then Li Ping was in serious trouble.